Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's Community Radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go.
And Merry Christmas.
Xmas, Xmas, Xmas.
Today is Christmas. Maybe you're listening. Maybe you're up having coffee. Maybe you've did the morning thing with your kids and your family, and you're chilling out.
And the beautiful mess that's made in the living room, you shouldn't clean it up too fast.
No. And if you have a baby, you know the baby is playing with the paper.
The paper. Yes.
And the stuff and the strings and the bows and the everything.
And I am a Christmas tree today because I wore red and green.
She wore red and green. She even has a bow on her jacket. She did it. And I wore pink and blue
and white.
But for you all right now, it is Christmas morning, and we want to thank you so much for tuning in. And hopefully, if you didn't get to tune in, you will go to the website
and read the podcast.
Yeah.
Not read it, but listen to it.
And there's lots of them. My granddaughter actually looked back and found the podcast, the show that she was on when she came in to visit. And that was, 2 years ago, I think?
Oh, at least.
And our podcasts aren't labeled.
No, because it's...
Because we never know what we're going to do, and it's not called, you know, Stuff Christmas. You know, stuff, gross food that you shouldn't eat or you could eat. You know what I mean?
Because we've done that before.
But she did. She was excited, and I'm hoping to get her and her friend Irene here, because they're a hoot, and I think it would be really, really fun.
She was good.
Yeah, she's very... very talkative and communicative. Is that the right word? Communicative?
Yep.
So I have a Christmas quote before we get into our stuff.
Okay.
I'm Len.
And Bev.
And together we are Stuff. And we are here today, Christmas, and every Thursday at 8:30, WTBR 89.7 FM. And in Lee.
Oh.
Is it Lee or Lennox? Lee.
Lee. 88.1 WSBR.
And this quote that I have is from Bill Crowder. Crowder is a Christian artist. He's a singer. Not your typical kind of singer. He's kind of gritty, kind of different.
I like that.
The great challenge left to us is cut through all the glitz and the glam of the season that has grown increasingly secular and commercial, and be reminded of the beauty of the one who is Christmas.
Nice.
So I liked that, and I wanted to share that.
Well, I have true or false.
Okay.
And one is really easy.
Okay.
In the story of A Christmas Carol, what is Scrooge's first name?
Okay.
Number two. What Christmas carol does the Peanuts Gang sing at the end of A Charlie Brown Christmas?
Oh, gosh.
And what is the name of the Grinch's dog? And if you think that's too easy, I've got an extra one for you.
Okay.
In the song Frosty the Snowman, what made Frosty come to life?
Oh, gosh. I only know one of these.
The easy one.
Yeah, I only know one of these.
Okay.
All right, we will repeat those. Grab your family and tell them what the true and false, and maybe you can guess it, but we will repeat it at the top of the second half of our show.
Yep.
I was thinking about Christmas and having people over and having lots of food and all, and I happened to fall upon this 5-second rule thing. If you drop food on the floor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or if you're cooking and you drop the turkey on the floor, or if you're having turkey or the ham or the roast beef or the...
If it's a crumb, throw it away. If it's a turkey, I would save it.
My sister and I were told by my mother 1 year when we were kids not to baste the turkey. Don't open the oven and baste the turkey, because we thought that was pretty cool, basting the turkey.
Yeah.
And when she wasn't around, we opened the oven door and we pulled that shelf out real fast.
Oh, gosh.
And that pan slid out onto the kitchen floor. And it's not just the turkey. It's the grease. It's the...
Oh.
And you should have seen us trying to pick that thing up. And the grease is all over the floor.
Was she mad?
I don't remember. Huh. I have to ask Patty, because I am a blur after that. I remember just trying to pick this thing up. And I would guess that we ate that turkey.
Talk about panic.
Many people follow the 5-second rule, but science shows the truth is more about safety than timing. Studies have found that food picks up germs as soon as it hits the floor.
Okay. But what if it's a very clean floor?
Regardless of how quickly you grab it. Let me ask you, who do you think has such a clean floor that you don't think there's a germ on it?
You.
No. The real risk depends on the type of food it is and the surface it lands on and your current health.
Well, your turkey probably was fine because it was on the grease, so the grease wasn't able to hit the floor and it kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. And then it goes back in the oven. And bakes for a few more hours.
And kills all the germs.
So, yeah. So I'll share a little bit more about that after.
I have, and it's, I like quotes. And I thought I would find some Christmas quotes.
Okay.
And the stuff that maybe you would enjoy.
Okay. Okay.
And the first one is my favorite. In the old days, it was not called the holiday season. The Christians called it Christmas and went to church. The Jews called it Hanukkah and went to synagogue. The atheists went to parties and drank. People passing each other on the street would say, Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah, or to the atheists, look out for the wall. That was by Dave Barry.
Who is it?
Dave Barry.
Dave Barry? I don't know him. Is he a comedian?
He was a comedian and a columnist in the newspaper.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like that. All right, I have some 12 old school Christmas traditions that deserve a comeback.
Okay.
And one of them is decorating your Christmas tree with popcorn.
Hey.
And I did it.
Uh-huh.
Did I tell you?
You told me that you had the fake fur and you were put...
I had the tree.
Yeah.
And I decorated it outside, put the tree outside. And thank you, whoever, the lady, I think her name's Mary, who gave me this tree. And I put the popcorn and the cranberries and I made peanut butter birdseed balls and put them all over the tree. Mm-hmm. And the birds... came and ate some, and then it poured.
Oh.
We had all that rain, and I thought, oh, no. So the popcorn certainly shriveled a bit. I went out and threw some more birdseed on it. Oh, I also threw crumbled bread all over it, and the birds came back. So I think they're looking for the popcorn seed, which is still hanging on the fishing line.
Right.
But... I did. I sat in front of TV, and I had my little pin, my needle, and strung that popcorn and poked my finger so many times.
But you know, the problem now is the birds are going to keep coming back waiting for the next tree.
They are. And they're probably not going to find it. No, I'll probably do it again next year. It's just I don't know what I'm going to do with the tree. Maybe I'll leave it out there in the yard all summer long. It looks, it's Well, it's a beautiful tree.
You do the birds in the summer?
I do.
Well, there you go.
There I go. I could put it on there again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've never done that, and I know today is Christmas Day, and you really can't, you could do that today if you'd like, but it's really fun to do. And I'll tell you, put on a Christmas movie, sit down with a big bag of popcorn. You can't use oil or butter or anything like that.
Nope.
It says just pop it dry.
Yep.
And just sit there and string it. It can get messy, but so what?
The birds will make it messy.
Well, messy on the couch.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Because sometimes the kernel breaks, and poor Mark, he's up. He said, I can't handle this. I got to clean up the corn. And he's, but it was fun, and doing the cranberries was fun. The popcorn being used as garland dates back to 1842.
Before which my time.
Really is funny, because you wonder if anybody before 1842 did it in their home and just didn't tell anybody.
That could be. I mean, I didn't say anything about mine until just recently.
Yeah. Yeah. And this supposedly happened in Williamsburg, Virginia, with American colonists.
So it's an American thing.
Yep. By the 20th century, it had grown into popularity and was added to Christmas trees, along with cranberries and nuts. I don't know how you'd string a nut.
I have suet.
Suet. So you could actually have, you mean
I have
the little
butter suet.
The block? It's a block?
Yeah.
You could cut that into little squares.
Or just put it in the holder.
Or in
the
little holder.
The
yeah. Duh. That'd be a lot easier. You should have seen me trying to make these peanut butters with the seed balls. Yeah. I didn't look it up to see how to really do it. But, yeah, my hands were soft. Peanut butter is very soft.
Okay. The Son of God, expressing the love of God to save us from the wrath of God so we could enjoy the presence of God.
Wow. That's true.
That was by John Piper. I don't know who he is.
I think I've heard that name before, but I can't put my finger on it.
I thought that was a really good one.
That's a really good one. All right. Many families had a flocked Christmas tree look, blocked, during the late 1950s. The festive trend mimicked branches covered in billowy, fluffy snow for an indoor winter effect.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, my mom actually had a white Christmas tree one time. I didn't like it.
No.
I didn't like that one.
Okay. Do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can at all the times you can to all the people you can as long as you ever can. St. John Wesley.
If you can.
If you can.
If you can. If you can. Someone mentioned to me, she had listened to one of our shows and mentioned to me that, how can I put this? Sometimes someone's life is affected so that thinking about presents and things at that time isn't applicable.
Right.
And we talked about when to decorate, when to take the decorations down. I think we talked about how much to decorate. We talked about a lot of the stuff.
Yep.
And she wrote a really beautiful song that I won't play. But we talked about colors.
Uh-huh.
We talked about the Christmas colors, the red and the green, and what do you decorate with, and the blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And, man, this was a beautiful song that had to do with the colors not being there, the colors like falling off the canvas, and it's just black and white. And it made me think that, and we discussed this, that Christmas really did change from what it originally is. It's the birth of Christ. And somehow all of it got to where the gifts and the colors and the traveling and how much did you spend on a gift? I need to spend the same on you. And the became overtook
the meaning of Christmas.
What it really is.
Yep.
And so I wanted to take the opportunity to just say that it is what it is. It's the birth of Christ. It's not necessarily in December. I don't know if you knew that. I'm not really sure when he was born.
Nobody is.
But we celebrate it now. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful because he's my Savior. And I'm also grateful that the 21st of December was winter solstice. And
yes, it was, and I celebrated.
The days are becoming longer.
By seconds.
Little by little. And I'm not really so caught up in it that I'm counting and making sure I know how many seconds.
I'm going to start counting.
But do you know how many?
Well, it was 422 yesterday, and it's again 422 today. So it's not moving at a rapid rate.
Oh, it's not every day.
Well, it is, but it's like
milliseconds.
Yeah.
It's still happening, though.
It is.
And spring is still
coming.
Coming.
Yes.
Yes. All righty.
Christmas is built upon a beautiful and intentional paradox that the birth of the homeless should be celebrated in every home.
Oh.
Gilbert K. Chesterton, who was a writer.
Have you ever had a homeless person in your home?
Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the most difficult things to do with.
Was tell them they had to go?
No.
Because at some point.
They did anyway.
That has to happen.
They did it on their own.
Uh-huh, which is really sad. Yeah, I've thought about that at times and thought, man, our humanity, our humanness, I guess that's the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
Makes us think, huh, could I do that?
You could.
I think I could.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I could.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. And Joseph and Mary were homeless that night.
That's what it's talking about.
They were homeless, and they were given an opportunity to have a place, even though it wasn't fancy.
Of course, they didn't say after the next day where they went.
Oh, I think they hung around for a while.
A little while, yeah.
They hung around for a while, but can you imagine the smell? And, you know, it's funny, this was something that I didn't get. For the longest time, I thought the manger was the barn itself. And it's not.
Oh, no.
The manger's the trough that
the baby was put in. Yeah.
So it's funny because I think when people think, oh, I'm going to put my manger up, they think the little barn area and the animals and the, mm-hmm. but it's actually the, and I did not know that.
Oh, it's food.
Yeah, it's the
receptacle.
Food trough. Yeah.
But they put in a lot of straw so that it was
Yeah. It would have been terrible if he had an allergy to hay. Oh, gosh.
Christmas is mostly No, wait a minute. The very purpose of Christ's coming into the world was that he might offer up his life as a sacrifice for the sins of men. He came to die. This is the heart of Christmas. And that was Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. Yeah, it's the heart of Christmas. It is what Christmas is.
See, you shouldn't associate with me.
Why?
Because I'm a pagan.
I love you. How long have we been together?
Oh, God.
10? Is it 20? I think it's 20.
It could be.
It's not 10. It seems like 10, but it's not 10. It's a long time. Yeah, I haven't kicked you to the curb. And you haven't kicked me to the curb. So there's an interesting thing that I saw, and it was 10 myths most people grew up with about Christmas.
Okay.
And mistletoe was always a romantic symbol.
Uh-huh.
You probably grew up thinking mistletoe has always meant a holiday kiss, but the romantic meaning is a much younger invention. Ancient Europeans used mistletoe for peace rituals and protection, not flirtation.
And for healing.
The kissing idea showed up in the 18th century England, tied loosely to beliefs about fertility and social games. Victorian writers and illustrators spread the custom until it felt older than it was, and that's how it became fixed in your mind. You still see it as a cute moment, even though it's more cultural storytelling than an ancient ritual.
Isn't it poisonous?
I don't know.
I thought I heard somewhere that it was poisonous.
That you shouldn't let your pets, poinsettias I know are, you shouldn't let your pets eat a poinsettia plant.
I ate one.
Oh, you did?
They're not poison.
You ate the plant?
They might not settle well with the dog or the cat's stomach, but it won't kill them.
Why did you eat poinsettia?
I ate a leaf to prove that it wasn't poisonous.
What?
And it isn't because I'm
did
still
here. Did you mix
here.
It with anything?
Nope.
You just chewed it?
Yep.
And ate it?
Yep.
What did it, was it bitter? Was it, I want to know, what was it like?
Fuzzy.
Was it the red part or the green part?
The green part.
The green part. Maybe the red part's poisonous. Want to give it a try?
Why not?
Live on the edge? Oh my gosh. So it says here you can tell how quickly a custom spreads when it taps into something social and fun.
Yeah.
So the mistletoe is all about, right now,
fun.
A little smooching.
Santa Claus has the right idea. Visit people only once a year.
Once a year. Once a year.
Eric Severide said that.
He said that. So when you were a kid, were you told about Santa and did you believe it?
We were never told. We just took it for granted because it was all over the TV and everything else that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we just did took you, it for granted.
Did you write a list?
No.
I knew my parents. So you knew they were it?
Yeah.
You knew?
Yeah.
And when did you let them know you knew?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I haven't told him yet.
I was just going to say, I was 30. Yeah, I remember when I realized that something was up. And that was when, put the cookies in the cocoa out. I read my letter from Santa that he left on the table.
Uh-huh.
And I was at that age where I could tell that was my mother's handwriting. She didn't try to change it at all. And I went, but I don't remember it being a dramatic, oh my gosh, there's no Santa.
No.
Yeah. No. Maybe I never really thought it was real from
the
very beginning. Because the Santa that I saw at England Brothers when I was little.
You knew the guy.
He had black framed glasses on. Big, thick. And then my kids saw the same guy. Or maybe it was just the same. We have pictures of the Santa with the big black framed glasses. And then I had a picture every year. You know, I put it in this long card thing that folds up. And you've got every year the picture when your kids see Santa. And it was always a different guy. The black framed guy was, I think, 2 years. And then it was a different. It couldn't have been the same Santa that I saw. It was a different Santa, and the beards were different, and some of them weren't fat.
Well, he was old.
Yes.
So maybe, you know.
Yes. So funny. And how much we do to make sure they know, okay, he's real. You go to great lengths to make sure they know he's real. So the three wise men arrived on Christmas night. That's the myth.
The myth. It had before the Christmas night.
Well, you learned that the Magi visited the manger on the night Jesus was born, but biblical accounts never say that. The text doesn't list their number and suggests they arrived later, possibly weeks or months after the birth.
Oh.
Medieval art condensed everything into one dramatic scene, and the nativity set repeated that version until it became automatic for you.
Talk about advertising.
Yeah. The idea of three only comes from the gifts, not from scripture. When you see how the timeline likely unfolded, the whole story feels more like real travel than a staged tab. Than it seemed to be staged. The later arrival also explains why the early church treated the visit separately. This shows how art, not scripture, like you said, shaped much of what you picture,
mm-hmm.
because it was all in one painting.
Well, Shirley Temple had something to say about that kind of thing. She said, I stopped believing in Santa Claus when I was six. Mother took me to see him in a department store, and he asked me for my autograph.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
That kind of gives it away.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That's kind of weird. Yeah. I watched Miracle on 34th Street the other day when I was wrapping presents and stuff. And have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
It's really cool. And Natalie Wood was the little girl. And if you've never seen that, and maybe you don't even know who Natalie Wood was, but she played, she was the woman in West Side Story. You probably don't know who was. I don't know West Side Story.
Maria.
But she did a really good job in Miracle on 34th Street as a little girl who did not believe in Santa because her mother told her that he's just an old man. He's just an old man with glasses and a big belly.
Well, she found out, didn't she?
Yes, she did. And that was really a very cool, cool movie. Santa's red suit was invented by Coca-Cola.
Oh, I don't even want to know.
You've heard the claim that Coca-Cola created Santa's red suit, but artists use red long before the Coca-Cola ads. Thomas Nast is the man's name, a 19th century illustrator, drew Santa in red repeatedly, and European images also used similar colors. Coca-Cola's influence came from exposure, not invention, because their campaign reached millions and cemented the visual style. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
You remembered the myth because it sounded clean and easy, even though history shows a long evolution. When you follow the artwork across decades, you see that Santa's look was shaped by culture, not corporations. The ads simply amplified what already existed. You notice the myth stayed popular because people enjoy simple explanations.
Easier to remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have a couple here that I think are cute that are not really spiritual. Gary Allen said, let's be naughty and save Santa the trip. Bernard Manning said, I once bought my kids a set of batteries for Christmas with a note on it saying, toys not included.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, everybody, that it's Christmas Day. Maybe you can do that. Maybe you can go sneak in the other room, grab some batteries, and wrap them up. That's funny.
Richard Crashaw said, great little one whose all-embracing birth lifts earth to heaven, stoops heaven to earth.
Stoops heaven to earth. I think you'd need to read that again.
Great little one, whose all-embracing birth lifts earth to heaven and stoops heaven to earth.
That's great. I've never heard that before.
No, me neither.
Yeah. You don't have the person who wrote that, do you?
Richard Crashaw.
Richard Crashaw. I don't know him. Don't know him. Oh. I have this cute little story. Fate threw a tree at us. This is like, I have these little God winks. Mm-hmm. You know? And no. There's actually a book. Oh my God. There's a book called, don't you hate it when people say that, you know? You know? No, I don't know. There's a book called God Winks. And there are all these cute stories about things like this. During the hustle and bustle of Christmas time in 1958, we told our children, ages 3 and 4, about a beautiful Christmas tree we would have in a few days. On Christmas Eve at the bakery we had recently purchased, we counted the receipts. They cleaned the shop, so they owned the bakery, and they headed for home with their children. Suddenly, we remembered we forgot to get the tree. We looked for a vendor who might have left a tree, but no avail. About a mile from home, we stopped for a red light. Suddenly, a gust of wind blew, and something hit the front of our truck. My husband went out to investigate. The next thing I knew, my husband was throwing a good-sized evergreen Christmas tree into the back of the truck. He went to the mom-and-pop store at the corner where I asked the proprietor how much he wanted for the tree. He said he wasn't selling Christmas trees that year. It was a Christmas miracle. We never did find out how the tree got in the middle of the road, but somehow we feel that we know where it came from. Incidentally, it was the most beautiful tree we had ever had.
Hey, if you want to believe in miracles.
Isn't that cool?
There you go.
Sometimes it's like, okay, that little God wink, I love it.
You remember W.C. Fields.
Well, yes.
You may not remember him, but you remember of him.
Yes. I do remember of him. Yes.
He once said, "A Merry Christmas to all my friends except two."
Well, he was a funny guy. Yes?
He was a hysterical guy.
Yeah.
He was a
big guy.
Blue guy.
Blue guy?
Well, he liked blue jokes.
What's a blue joke?
Not meant for children.
W.C. Fields? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Back then? Oh, my. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Okay. Rudolph was always part of the Santa story, is a myth. You probably believed Rudolph was as old as the original sleigh team, but he didn't exist until 1939. A department store writer named Robert L. May created him for a holiday booklet meant to draw shoppers, not rewrite folklore. Moore's 1823 poem listed the 8 original reindeer, and Rudolph joined more than a century later through the booklet, the song, and the TV special.
No wonder they wouldn't let him play.
I know. Poor little Rudolph. He wasn't even included at all.
He wasn't even there.
You treat him as timeless because of those versions of the songs and the stories were so influential that they blurred the actual timeline. His story shows how quickly a new idea becomes tradition when children embrace it. He became iconic because his underdog appeal resonated.
Can't trust anybody.
Oh, remember in the movie? I'm cute. She said I'm cute. Remember who was the little girl?
I don't know.
The little girl reindeer. Clarice. Clarice thought that Rudolph was cute with his nose because his little black cover fell off of his red nose and it was shining and Clarice saw it.
Okay.
And he was embarrassed and she said, "I think you're cute." And he said, or something like that. And he said, "I'm cute. She thinks I'm cute."
She just wants to say it like that. Time for a break.
Okay, where's my...
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Larry Cracker here on 89.7 WTBR, getting ready for another 2 hours of amazing oldies that you could hear twice, Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m. and Monday mornings at 10 a.m. Remember those old 45 RPM records you had when you were a kid? Well, I have mine, and I'll play them for you twice a week. Nothing but old 45s. Saturday afternoons at 4 with an encore presentation Monday morning at 10 a.m. here on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR.
There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
What?
Don't cross the streams.
WTBR. This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Oh, I just got it. I just got it. Don't cross the streams. Is that because of streaming programs or streams, or instead of street, you say streams, or does it have to do with streaming?
I just thought of something very blue, so no, never
okay.
mind.
Like W.C. Fields? All right, this is the second half of our show. Merry Christmas, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful day, whether you're having a quiet day or a family day or a party day. We just hope that you have a wonderful day.
Yes.
And we have is it not true or false? It's questions.
Yes.
Okay.
In the story of A Christmas Carol, what is Scrooge's first name? That's the easy one.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of these are a little difficult.
Mm-hmm.
What Christmas carol does the Peanuts gang sing at the end of A Charlie Brown Christmas?
Oh my gosh.
What's the name of the Grinch's dog? And in the song Frosty the Snowman, what made Frosty come to life?
Frosty the Snowman, he came to life one day. Snowman, I know you know, and we say this a lot. Mm-hmm. We know a lot of our listeners, and we know what they're doing right now.
Yelling.
Yes, yes, and they're maybe singing like we are. Crosses.
Oh, you think
No, I'd have to sing the whole song, but
right.
We will do that. Hey, so KFC in Japan. A successful 1974 marketing campaign turned fried chicken into Japan's go-to Christmas meal, with people ordering their chicken weeks in advance.
Isn't that something? Talk about...
Did you ever like Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Before adored you? It.
I know.
Oh, John. I just
I know. Maybe if you ever stumbled upon a Kentucky Fried Chicken, you could eat just the breading part.
Well, that wouldn't be any fun.
I can't believe
being that close to it.
I know. You would not be able to do it.
Licking my lip.
Yeah, you would not be able to do it. And we don't have one here anymore. Where do we have to go?
I don't know where. I have no idea. West Springfield?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's kind of like the time that Mark and I were in a mall somewhere on vacation, and they had a Cinnabon place.
Those
and I
are
looked
good
at
too.
Him, and I said, you know, we never get the Cinnabon in the airport because they have them in the airports. I haven't had a Cinnabon for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I said,
now's
we
the
have
time.
To do it. And it was so worth it. We split one.
They are good.
Oh, they're so good. You've got to have melted butter all over it. I mean, it's probably 5,000 calories, but it was worth it that day. For sure.
Charles Dickens once said, "For it is good to be children sometimes, and never better than at Christmas, when its mighty founder was a child himself."
Amen. Wow.
Yeah.
This is cool. So there's a time when people have said, and they've used the candy cane as a representative of Jesus. So
The shepherds.
The candy canes were designed to represent Jesus. So it says here, you might have been told that the cane shape stood for the shepherd's staff.
Uh-huh.
Or that the red stripes symbolized the sacrifice, the blood. But there's no historical evidence for any of that. Early candy canes were simply white sugar sticks made in Europe by the 1600s.
Wow.
Long time ago. The stripes and peppermint were design choices added by confectioners during the 1800s to make them more festive. The religious meaning only appeared in the 20th century through retellings that added symbolism after the fact. When you compare the stories to the records, you see the candy cane was just a sweet piece of candy, not a special secret code. Its later interpretations show how people like adding meaning to simple things. You see how easily symbolism gets attached when people want a deep story.
So if you want to get serious about things, Doesn't it kind of spoil Christmas?
If you want to get serious about things?
If it's true or not and all that good stuff.
Say. I don't care. You know, if somebody wants to say it represents Jesus' blood and the purity is the white, okay. But I don't hang on to that. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, because the bottom line is what Christmas is about, who was born and why, period. So all the other stuff that everybody gets involved with, all the stuff, doesn't matter.
Advertising.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Helen Keller said the best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart.
And she knows that.
She did.
Uh-huh. So for those of you who don't...
Who doesn't know Helen Keller?
Well, I don't know. The younger generation, you know.
Then you should look her up.
Yeah. And if you aren't a reader, there's a really good movie with Sally Fields. Wasn't she in it twice? She played Helen Keller one time, and in the remake, she played... She played
Sally
both parts.
Fields?
Sally Field, I'm pretty sure, played Helen Keller. And then who was Helen Keller's?
Anne.
And I think in another movie she played Anne. Wasn't it Sally Field?
I thought it was Patty Duke.
It's Patty Duke. You're right. You're right. It's Patty Duke. If you want to see a really good movie.
It was.
About Helen Keller. That was really very good. Very good. Jingle Bells for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I heard that.
The tune was originally a Thanksgiving song in 1857, later becoming the first song played in space by the astronauts in 1965.
How about that?
So why was Jingle Bells... Oh, I remember. I think we talked about this. Jingle Bells for Thanksgiving was because when you went to Thanksgiving in your sleigh, you had your bells and people would hear it going to someone's home for Thanksgiving dinner. I think that's what the bells, Jingle Bells, oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh, rushing through the snow.
Could be.
It really has nothing to do with
Christmas.
But I like it.
I do.
I like Jingle Bells.
Phyllis Diller said, what I don't like about office Christmas parties is looking for a job the next day.
Okay, keep on it going.
Garrison Keeler said, a lovely thing about Christmas is that it's compulsory, like a thunderstorm, and we all go through it together.
Oh. Did you like his stories?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too.
Yes, I did.
He's on, didn't he come to Tanglewood?
Yes, he did. The charming aspect of Christmas is the fact that it expresses goodwill in a cheerful, happy, benevolent, non-sacrificial way. One says, Merry Christmas, not weep and repent. And the goodwill is expressed in a material, earthly form by giving presents to one's friends or by sending them cards in token of remembrance. And that was said by Anne Rand.
Anne Rand. Mincemeat pie.
I want some mincemeat pie. I want to see what it tastes like. No.
I've never had it.
Is it real meat?
I don't want to have it. I don't think it's meat. I think it's chopped up dates. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe they shove some prunes in there, and maybe they put on some of that dried up fruit that they put in a fruit cake.
Why are you so against mint?
It's just mushy, and they throw some pecans in there, and they probably throw in some molasses and brown sugar and applesauce and probably some hamburger. Then just shove it in that pie crust.
Hamburger?
So this says, mince pie law in England. There's a law. It's technically illegal to eat mincemeat pies on Christmas Day due to a 17th century gluttony ban. Isn't this bizarre? The ban was put into effect by Oliver Cromwell.
We'll talk about the czar.
I don't know who he is. Do you?
Yeah.
Who is he?
He was in the church.
Oliver Cromwell?
Yeah.
So he made up his own rule.
Oh, boy,
yeah,
did
well,
he ever.
That does happen. It was never repealed. So it's still in place. So, oh, my gosh, you better be careful if you eat some mincemeat pie today, because good old Oliver is going to come haunt you.
I want to know what's in it. Anyway.
Okay.
Christmas is a day of meanings and traditions, a special day spent in the warm circle of family and friends. It's kind of blah. That was by Margaret Thatcher.
That was kind of blah. Is that what you said?
Yeah, but that was my input.
Oh,
hers.
That was you. Oh, okay. Early Christians always celebrated Christmas on December 25. We talked about this a little bit in the beginning of the show. I'm sorry, December 25.
Okay.
You probably assume December 25th has always been the universal date, but early Christians didn't settle on it right away, and some didn't celebrate the birth at all. Different communities used different dates, and the holiday itself wasn't central to early Christian worship. The date gained momentum in the 4th century, possibly chosen to align with other Roman winter festivals and the winter solstice. Once church leaders formalized it, the tradition spread and became a standard. You see it as fixed because it's the only version that you've grown up with. It shows how religious calendars develop through the consensus, not the direct instruction. So when you think about it, where he was born, there wasn't any snow.
Probably, no.
It was tropical. Mm-hmm. So there were probably desert, you know, dry,
right,
hot,
right,
which made the barn smell hot. It never said he was cold.
No,
never talks about being cold. So it's
they crossed the desert.
Yeah. So there you go.
Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Oh.
Said,
what's the show?
Little House on the Prairie.
Yes.
She said, our hearts grow tender with childhood memories and love of a kindred, and we are better throughout the year for having, in spirit, become a child again at Christmas time.
Kind of, yeah.
I've never stopped being a child.
I don't think
have
I
you?
Have either.
That's no fun.
Yeah. I think I'm still, sometimes I'm still 12.
I might be 14.
14? So we brought our granddaughter to Namkeg. If you've never been there, it's just an amazing light show there. It's amazing. And there's a whole area where they have all these lighted trees, and they have paper and markers. And you can put your Christmas wish list on it. And there's just... There's hundreds and hundreds of these papers that are why you wire it to the trees, and it's beautiful. And we were reading some of them, and you know, things they want for Christmas, and I want a cat, and I want a bike, and I want this, I want to go on an island. And my granddaughter wrote, her wish was that all people would be kind and nice to each other.
How old was she when she did it?
Yesterday.
Oh.
She's 11.
Well, that was very sweet of her.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Did she sign her name?
No, she didn't.
That's even better.
Yeah. I wrote one.
Uh-oh.
I wrote that I want a pony. That's my 11-year-old coming out.
Okay.
I want a pony.
Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there.
That's
pretty cool. There's a lot of kids out there that are really kind and sweet. And
there are.
Yeah.
There are. I just heard of three guys who went to a barbecue place and saw an old woman sitting by herself. And they went over and sat with her, and they made friends, and they're still friends today.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
Yeah, I went over and sat with somebody one time, and they told me to get away. They wanted to be alone. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. A Christmas stocking began with a generous saint. That is a myth, according to this is a website called ArtWit. You've heard the story of St. Nick. No, it's not. I'm sorry. It's MSN. You've heard the story of St. Nicholas dropping coins into stockings, but historians see that as a blend of folklore and later imagination, the modern stocking tradition took shape. No, I read that all wrong. You've heard the story of St. Nicholas dropping coins into stockings, but historians see that as a blend of folklore and later imagination, period. The modern stocking tradition took shape in the 1800s when children's books and magazines popularized the idea in households. Artists illustrated cozy fireplaces with stockings hanging, and the families developed the practice of putting things into the stockings. You still picture the old legend because it adds charm, even though the tradition grew through publishing rather than a single historical event.
Advertising.
Yeah.
Oy.
Did you have a stocking?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know you had the tree outside.
Yep. We put up stockings.
Did you have a fireplace?
Yep.
So it looked right. Was it a stocking or a sock?
It was probably bought from a store.
A big giant sock or an actual Christmas stocking that was decorated and all that?
Yeah.
I like the whole sock thing. If I had a fireplace, I think I would find big socks.
You'd have to...
Or make...
Could they be big enough?
I don't know. Who? You know what? Put little things in it, right? I just like that look of the hanging, just the sock hanging and not anything decorated. I don't have a fireplace, so it's a moot point.
Okay. Christmas Eve was a night of song that wrapped itself about you like a shawl, but it warmed more than your body. It warmed your heart, filled it, too, with melody that would last forever. Bess Streeter Aldridge.
Streeter Aldridge. So lots and lots of buying and buying and buying. Buying gifts, buying and buying.
I'm still doing it.
And if you have your family with you today and you're doing the gift thing and you're all there, this is a pet peeve I have. I want everyone to open their gifts one at a time.
Yes.
Because I put a lot of thought... And I know other people do as well. And they want to see you open the present.
They do.
And they want to see your face. And they want to hear your expression. They want to hear
your reaction. Yes.
And so opening them all at the same time is just a fiasco.
Oh. I understand that. And I totally believe.
Yeah.
Totally.
So one year what we did was we put numbers in a bowl. And everybody picked a number, and you went in the order of what number you picked.
Oh, okay.
One to whatever. So it was your number, it was your turn to open up your presents.
Do you do a Christmas Eve gift?
I did when my kids were little. They got to open one thing. I wish I could go back to those days.
Yeah.
It was so much fun when they got up really early, and it was just...
Before you did, right?
Yeah, it was great. It was really great.
J.K. Rowling once said, "One can never have enough socks," said Dumbledore. "Another Christmas has come and gone, and I didn't get a single pair. People will insist on giving me books."
So now it's books. Did you ever buy socks?
Only for myself.
Did you ever buy ties?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the poor fathers that always got the ties. The ties and the socks.
And the fathers are mad at Santa Claus because he gets all the credit when the fathers are the ones that buy the stuff.
That's true. Oh, I'm looking. Keep going because I'm looking. I lost my spot.
Christmas is a necessity. There has to be at least one day of the year to remind us that we're here for someone, something else besides ourselves.
Isn't that so true?
Eric Severide said that.
That's so true. And people are so friendly at Christmas time. I love it.
It doesn't last very long.
It doesn't last very long. It doesn't. So.
Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more.
That's the Grinch.
That's the Grinch.
Have you watched it this year?
Not yet.
What is this? Oh.
That's Santa walking backwards.
So we started to talk about gifts. So it says here, this is from MSN.com, unwanted gifts, over $700 million of unwanted gifts are estimated to be spent in the United States.
That's pretty sad.
Unwanted gifts. That's crazy. One year, we actually bought chickens and goats for some village somewhere. And I wrote this letter to all the people in my family. Heifer?
Was the magazine named Heifer?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember, but we thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to go to these people. They're going to be able to sell the eggs. They're going to be able to sell the milk. They're going to be able, you know, they're going to have eggs. I sent this big, long letter to my family. Said, I think this would be great. You know, this is what we're doing. We're not buying any gifts. And maybe nobody should buy any gifts. Then we don't have to worry about your credit cards being all racked up and getting things people don't want. And, well, that didn't go over very big.
I can imagine.
But we did buy them. And sadly enough, the place that had the goats.
Yeah.
The goats got some kind of an infection.
Aww.
And they had to put a lot of them down. And they wrote us a letter. And they sent the money back to us for the goats.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was pretty cool. So we did another thing with it.
In the story of A Christmas Carol, what is Scrooge's first name?
I wanted to read something first. Do we have time?
Make it quick.
Okay. It's the thing I sent you. Did you already read that? It's long. It was a Billy Graham quote, and I think you already did a Billy Graham quote.
I did.
All right. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Okay. You're right on that.
Right. That's the only one. Oh, my gosh.
What Christmas carol does the Penis Gang sing at the end of A Charlie Brown Christmas?
I'm going to kick myself.
Hark the herald angels sing.
Oh, man. I should know that. I sing it with grace all the time, every Christmas. Oh.
What's the name of the Grinch's dog?
Dog.
Max.
Mm-hmm.
In the song Frosty the Snowman, what made Frosty come to life?
Came to life one day. Traffic cop. I don't know.
An old
silk hat. Old silk hat he wore. Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy Yule.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.